Anybody got anything they want to say before we get kicked? Yes.
I was wanting to say something.
What you got?
Oh, I know what it was. I was working with Brother Nevins. He works over at the base with me. He's Church of Christ. And we've been working together now for pretty close to 7 years. And his wife wants to start Church of Christ doctrine, whatever. And she told her husband that they...
She got to that.
Oh,
point.
Yeah. So she's, there's a split in the family now. So we need to pray for them, by the way.
Oh, yes, because you're doing real good in it. I mean, you keep me abreast of what's happening. You're making progress through him.
It's taking time.
And it's not as you, it took you a long time. It took us all a long time to shed some of this stuff, the religious baggage.
I was at Goodyear the other day. Did I tell you that?
Huh? The body of Christ doesn't. I'm going to emphasize the body of Christ. We don't look for New Jerusalem. No man to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. It says these things that relate only to the... These are things that relate only to the church, the body of Christ, and it's only a quick, randomly sample. I mean, if y'all want a copy, I think Carl does. I'll make you a copy.
What's interesting is, all that being said, how many grace believers do not rest peacefully in Christ? Okay.
That's the truth now.
Sit back and go, he's got it. Isn't this wonderful? We don't do that. We still concern ourselves with the world.
Church. There's supposed to be unity in the church. They're not. Here, oh, this is lovely. I see his church. Yes, we're going through the tribulation. EC kept saying, no, you're not showing them scripture. They didn't believe it. They left. So, EC has gone through trials and tribulations also. It's just like when somebody give him, and I've told you this before, when somebody give him a Cadillac, beautiful, my God, I'd love to have that. EC believed, as the scripture said, you're going to preach the gospel, you live with the gospel. And because somebody had given him that perfectly Cadillac, because they loved EC for what he did in the ministry, for all those, at that time, it was probably, I'd say 41, 42 years he'd had in the ministry. And so somebody give him a Cadillac. And it wasn't a new one, but boy, it looked like it. And you had rumblings going on in the congregation, the assembly. He said, what kind of Cadillac? And, you know, we're driving a Chevy or something. I'm going to stop giving. You give out of a free will of your heart. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Well, my God. He said somebody donated, and they knew he was donated to it. He had to give the car, or I don't know if he gave it away, I doubt it. He sold the car or gave it away, probably sold it, just to keep down turmoil in the church. Now, is that nuts?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, if I win a lottery that's $50 million, y'all still need to give.
Okay.
It ain't got nothing to do with the Lord's work. It's mine. Believe me, we'd have a new church and everybody probably would have this and that. But the fact of it is...
But that's because you'd be donating it.
I would be donating
it.
So, yeah, the thing is, that's just nuts. But anyway...
You got to stay on message. There's dissimulation with the apostles.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, it's always going to be there.
Now, with that said... This pastor told me, he said, man, I got problems in the assembly. He said, I was preaching Sunday. Now, I'm telling you, because of what Dave said about grace believers. This church has been established a long time. And the preacher got through, walked down, and he had the piano player. And she said, oh, this is one of the best services I've ever heard. And what he preached on was, we're not doing enough, including myself. They're lagging behind. No, they've lost a few people. So have we. So AC lost them all the time. Then you got somebody new coming in. It's a transition. It's always this way. And you look around, we don't have no teenagers in here to take over when we go. And that's the problem. That was the problem with EC. If he stayed alive, it would eventually die, probably. So, you've got to have somebody, youth, to come and take over eventually. And so that's what he said. He said, my job is to preach the gospel to everybody who comes in here and anybody that I can talk to. I'm doing this. I've got classes in about four or five different places, which is not under my contract, those kind of things. And to preach the gospel and to increase the membership. You want more people in here. You always do. Because somebody's going to be leaving. It's just like, it's just true. Somebody's coming into this world. Somebody's leaving this world. Every day, every minute. So you want to bring people into your assembly, your congregation. Nothing wrong with it. And so another lady called him and says, oh, this is a wonderful service you had. I'm telling you. And there was this preacher that's also a member of his assembly. And I know this preacher, not very well, but I do know him. And he took his time. And so this preacher was, the guy that just finished the service was out here walking around as you do, shaking hands with him. And then this preacher finally got over there and stood in front of him and says, you're not spiritual. I mean, pointed his finger in his face. This is like I come up to Joe and just say, you're not spiritual enough to be a pastor. That's a grace preacher that did that to another grace preacher in front of his congregation. If he had a problem, he needs to come to him privately and bring another one or two, however you want to do it. And that's scriptural. Totally unscriptural. I mean, can you imagine that? My first thought was maybe the guy is not taking his medication. I don't mean that bad. I mean, you know, people flip out when they don't. And I was thinking, good God. This fellow is retired, the pastor that stuck his finger in there, and he didn't leave it at that. And he said, I'm leaving and I ain't never coming back.
Yeah.
And his wife, as she was leaving, you know, she was embarrassed and trying to drag him out of there. But I know that guy wants to take this other preacher's position. That's what it is. He lets him preach. Like I let all y'all guys preach. Well, I ain't worried about it. But this guy had been the pastor that was preaching has been letting this other previous pastor teach first class or whenever he's gone, you know, like we all have to go somewhere once in a while. And so all this time that guy's been working up trying to get his job as the pastor. And the sad thing is that guy that was such a butt used to be this pastor's preacher himself. And he loves the band. And as this guy does that to him, oh my goodness. And so there's another, I've got to tie these together. So there's another man and woman, and this is what I was getting to with you. There was three other people that somehow related. And so this pastor said something that was unbecoming of a pastor. Now, it's just like when Richard said that word the other day in here. You remember that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see nothing wrong with you. I mean, you did it for emphasis. Or either slip, I don't care. But it didn't make me say, come here, you can't do that again. But this guy was teaching a Bible class at one of their houses. And he said something. I'll tell you what he said. He said, I like this. He's talking about somebody else that offended one of his children. I'd like to kick his ass. Oh my God! The Baptist come out. And he's apologized. He told me about 20 times to that, those three people. And they said, well, we forgive you, but we're never going to forget it.
Where do they live under a rock?
Damn. And he's on Facebook. Bunch of these great preachers, I see them out there all the time. They're friends of mine. He's on Facebook. He posts pictures of him and his family, like most of them do, you know. And I do occasionally. And he said, by the way, I seen you in a bar drinking a mixed drink. Oh, God. Joe, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
We'd have to boot you out.
Yeah.
Probably boot everybody in here.
Stone you.
So I told him, I said, you know, this is the Baptist reappearing in the Grace Church of yours.
Yeah.
And he said, when did I do that? He said, you talked to me, he's talking to the other. You mean, when I was down at McGuire's, I was having a meal, and you saw a glass with salt on the top of it. That's what you're so angry about? Reminds me of those Baptists and Methodists, and specifically the Baptist preachers in Op. We used to have a green front in the state of Alabama where you bought liquor. Come on in, Harold. Where you bought liquor. Well, these deacons and so forth would not go in the green front. They'd call a taxi to go get it and bring it to their house, and they drink it. Hypocritical people.
Let's say you start speaking in tongues after three glasses of wine.
Well, if you don't believe it, you become a friend with some of these deacons and see what they do. They'll criticize you every day in the from here, but they're holier than thou. But anyway, so I told him, I said, you know, you're going to have problems. Every Grace church I've ever known has got problems when it comes to that, at least once or twice. Some of them I know some Grace churches right this minute that still have got ongoing problems. Not that one. The one in Montgomery. It's there, but ain't nobody pastor of it. And they've had problems. When Barry Hampton died, this fellow that just stuck his finger in my other buddy's face said, hey, I'll step up. I'll take over the pastorship for y'all for free, since I've got an income. They wouldn't take him. Well, something's wrong if they wouldn't take a free pastor. He's tried to get on about six other churches for free. Well, none of them will take him as a Grace pastor. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine this? Now, sit there and judge him because he had an appearance. And he did. I asked him, I said, you have a drink? Yeah, about every 2 years. I don't drink. But about every 2 years, I'll have a drink. Good God. That's how Grace people are now. They ain't no different from denominational systems. They're judgmental. Now, I ain't talking about all of them. It's, you know, I don't sit down and judge Joe because he likes a glass of wine or whatever the case may be. Or Dave, he likes a beer, don't you?
What's one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Two things I've learned in this class, I've mentioned it before. One is I'm complete in Him.
Amen.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
I'm sealed until the day of redemption. Now, what I do around you or in front of you, and you see me do it, it doesn't matter what you see me do or don't see me do. Don't misunderstand me, but I mean, you can't undo what God's done.
No, you can't. Thank God you can't.
It's done. It's done. And nobody's going to take it away from you. You don't have the power to take it away from you. It was given of God. It had nothing to do with you.
And you have no right to
speak to me any way you want to speak to me. You're just talking to the wind. God don't hear you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We can become a stumbling block, but it ain't got nothing to do with what Jim just said. You're still complete. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Yes, Richard.
I think what happens is that you can become religious as a Grace believer. In other words, you understand all the doctrines and all this knowledge puffs up, but until it becomes subjective, in other words, where you receive grace, you can't receive grace until you see yourself as a chiefest of sinners. So you got people there that understand the doctrine but have never experienced the grace.
So in other words, we really doubt that guy's salvation.
I would.
I mean, truly.
Yeah.
I would have to.
If he's not showing grace, then I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't understand that either.
Because he's never been there.
How can he think of himself as the chief of sinners?
That's right. Maybe those other churches already knew this about him. I don't know that, but some reason.
Something's wrong.
He had about six opportunities. Well, he asked for one, then he applied for others. He had about six different places, plus that first one up in Montgomery. He applied and they didn't take him at all. Something about him. Like I say, I know the guy. I wouldn't let him preach in here. Ain't no way I would let him preach in here.
Well, you know, we have to say
before that, this, I wouldn't.
You know, how wide is your road of grace? Is grace this little?
Yeah.
If you're not inside that little
degree,
yeah, it should be.
It's wide.
It's not that wide. Yeah. That's not grace.
Yeah.
And you see, some people have what they call, I call it, a measure of grace. You know, like. the Assembly of God has a measure of grace, but they don't, they're not grace believers.
Right.
You know, I mean, they do. I mean, and they're kind and gentle, and they're bringing people in and whatever,
so
not condemning.
Right. Well, people who judge want to judge so they feel better.